Hey guys, this is Mike Vedano, and you're listening to Sarcastic Remarks on 365 Sportscast Radio Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sarcastic Remarks, along with Christian Chambers. I'm Ryan, and we are here talking about the latest Two Stars games against the Chicago Blackhawks, the Columbus Blackhawks.
Yeah. Good words, Ryan.
Yep. Words are hard. Hey, at least I didn't switch our names this time. Along with Ryan, I'm Chris. I didn't say it that time.
That was impressive. You finally learned your own name.
Right, I know, yeah. So, before we talk hockey, how's baseball season going? How do you think the Rangers are doing?
Bro, I don't even care anymore. I watched the first game, and after that first game, that was the worst baseball game I've ever seen in my life.
I know. All this excitement to build up to an absolute terrible loss. That was one of the worst baseball
games. Y'all don't have to worry. I'm not going to be talking about baseball on this podcast because I don't want to remind myself of it. So,
yeah. The Rangers are doing better now. They're closer to 500 than they were. So they're working
They've
their
only
way
played
there.
Six games.
Hey, think about it. All the Dallas teams are perfectly mediocre. The Stars are now back to NHL.
Just like always.
Then you have the Cowboys, who are perfectly mediocre, and then you've got the Rangers, who are I don't know their record right off the top of my head, but they're already.
The NFL added an extra game. The Cowboys can no longer go 8-8. What are they gonna do?
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard about that.
17 games.
So is no there 8-8. So is there no bye weeks anymore?
No, they just extended the season by a week.
So there's 18 weeks.
Yeah, there's more than 18 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, you gotta play 19 games now and have a bye week or two. I don't know.
Really? Wow. Well, does that mean that they're not doing the 4-week preseason anymore?
I hope so.
I see that's one thing that doesn't work for football, for NFL. It's just 4 games for a preseason is too long. It's not like hockey where you kind of have to figure out like
okay, hockey time and stuff.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I got sidetracked.
I got
Dallas
bored.
Dallas sports are very mediocre. Anyways, so let's talk about these two Blackhawk games because honestly, Chris, this is like night and day difference. It's like one team and like flip-flop players like Wednesday night or something. I don't know. So the Stars lost on Tuesday with a final score of 4-2, and then they won this evening with a score of 5-1. And there are a couple of big storylines from this game, but I think the biggest storyline overall is the defense and the turnovers that were caused. So in the first game, it was Dallas who was not doing what they were supposed to be doing on all.
They sucked on defense. That was the worst defensive game I've seen from them in 2 years.
Yep. And then in this game today, they did the exact opposite. They took advantage of honestly, the defense from the Chicago Blackhawks was worse than the Stars was on Tuesday, in my opinion. Yeah.
Two goals on their own, just from Duncan Keith. Like, goodness.
If I was Jeremy Colton, the head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks, and I watched that second goal, the Robertson goal, I would have benched Zadora faster than you could have said, oops. Because that was some of the worst defending I have ever seen. So first off, he gives up the puck, right? He gives up the puck in a really terrible turnover to Roope Hintz. And then he leaves one of the top rookies in the NHL just wide open in front of the – he basically just stood there. And then there was another instance they were talking about in the third period where Zadorov, he was out there for like 2 minutes, and they said he had skated like a full like radius of like 12 feet. Huh. So it was a tale of two games for the Stars in the end this. And it just goes to show you the inconsistency of both of these teams, honestly. The Stars have played better as of late with the past, you know, month and a half, you know.
Well, this road trip, they end it 3-2-1.
Which is very good for the Stars. And that's kind of where we need to be if we want to keep track of getting that fourth playoff spot in the the Honda Central?
Who cares?
Who cares? It's sponsored by somebody.
It's not where we want to be, but it keeps us in the hunt is what it does. Like, right. we're still not out of it yet. So all it takes is really one bad road trip or homestand to really knock us out. But as long as we keep playing 500 hockey, we're going to keep ourselves in this playoff race at least.
So it was really frustrating watching this game on Tuesday. So in the first period, Kirby Doc scored with his very first of the year, assisted by Kane and Murphy. And throughout that game, we got completely obliterated by that line of Doc, Kane, and DeBrincat.
Yeah, those look like the only three players on the ice.
Well, Kirby Doc is making himself known in that game, and the Stars just had no answer for that line. And the other thing about it was is that the Stars were feeding these 2-on-1 opportunities, these odd man rushes, and it was really frustrating to watch because that's not normally the way that the Stars play. Normally, that's one of the staples of especially Rick Bonus hockey is, you know, limiting those odd man rushes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why last game was like, that's why I said it was the worst defensive game we've played, because it was honestly just trash.
They did make it a late third period push, and I think it was either Saad Youssef on Twitter or Matt DeFranks, one of the two. This was basically another one goal game that the Stars lost.
Yep.
So it's if you look at the records for the Stars in one goal games, which I don't have the stats in front of me. But, and we've talked about this before, is the good teams are going to be dominant in those one goal games. They're going to have a clear winning record. And that's one of the things that the Stars have not been very good at this year.
Yeah. And that's the thing that they were great at last year. And yeah, we've talked about this a lot. And I mean, we just don't have the goal scorers to make it happen, it seems, right now. Like, we have a few, but we just don't have enough guys who can do it. So it's just not happening. So,
well, hey, so real quick tangent. Some good news for the Stars is it seems like that we're going to start getting some reinforcements here very soon within the next couple of weeks. So it was reported on Twitter that three players, Alexander Radulov, Tyler Seguin, and Ben Bishop, are all going to be joining the taxi squad very soon. I think it was believed to be on Saturday. So if they're being moved to the taxi squad, that means that we could possibly see them, I would think, within a week. Maybe a little more than a week. Maybe next weekend, something like that.
I'm thinking a little more than a week. I think that's just so they can practice with other people. So I'm expecting 2 weeks. But hopefully sooner. But yeah, we need those guys.
Yeah. And can you imagine how much of a boost that would be to the Stars team right now? And I mean, we're literally treading water. I mean, you can't tread water much than the way that we're doing right now.
Yeah. I mean, we've been at 500 for like half a season now already.
Right.
So, and you've got to think that those three guys, like, those are big names. Those can push you over the edge, get you to maybe 600 till the end of the season. And maybe that's enough to sneak into that garbage fourth spot. Like, and that's all we need. Like we said, like, this whole season has just been a wash for the Stars. It just sucks. And if we can somehow find a way to scrape a playoff appearance, that would be awesome. That's a win.
Right. And that would be a huge, I think we could be seen as a huge dark horse in the playoffs. If fourth spot, I think we could give Tampa Bay fits for that in their first round. Well, I'm assuming Tampa Bay gets the first seed, but at this point they might not. So, but regardless, whatever team we play, I think we're going to give a lot of fits to, and maybe we can get back to that brand of hockey that we played in the bubble. Because obviously whatever we did in the bubble was perfect. And okay. So I felt like, honestly, in the game on Tuesday that the Stars dominated more of the play, you know, getting their forecheck set up and everything like that. And I think that was a clear contrast to the way that this game today, tonight, was played. So tonight, and even though it was a 5-1 score, it was definitely not like period. And I think the only reason why we were able to survive the first period was, first off, the play of Anton Hudobin. Hudobin wasn't asked to be superstar, but he made the saves where it was needed. But it almost looks like the Stars are finally starting to get back to that team defense. So it's earlier in the season when we were around in our own zone around the net, I would be more panicky with the Stars play, with their defensive play. But the past couple of games, and especially these past 2 weeks, I've been less panicky with how they've been playing in front of their own net. Yes, those passes are getting through that you don't want to give up, but it seems like that, especially our forwards, are getting their sticks in the right spot at the right time most of the time, like 90% of the time, and those chances aren't happening for the opposing team.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. What is that?
It's Jared playing the piano.
Jared playing the piano. It's all right. It's no big deal. Anyways, what do you think about that? Do you think that's just me being crazy, or do you think that's true?
No, I think that's definitely true. I think that, like, we are being more active on defense, especially from Tuesday night's game, because Tuesday night's game was awful for that. But yeah, hopefully overall we're just getting better. I think also a thing that helps out with that might not be as noticeable is that fight for the sixth spot that's been going on between Pisick and Hanley. I feel like both of their plays has gotten better as the season has gone on just because of that competition in that spot. And I also think Sekera overall has had a much better season this year than he did last year. And he's shown he has that big slap shot. He's been outstanding on the penalty kill all season. So I think Sekera, he might be one of the more improved players from last season to this season that most people wouldn't really think about.
That's a really good point. I haven't thought about that. And especially the play of all three of those guys. You know, we spend so much time talking about the top four and how much the Stars rely on that top four. But, you know, we sometimes forget the play of those three guys, all three of them. And especially the emergence of Joel Hanley. Unfortunately, he you know, got hurt and everything. But the play of all three of those guys has been fantastic. So, the other thing that I wanted to talk about was just the faceoff percentages between the two games. So the faceoff percentages between those two games in the first game, the Stars, and this has kind of been flip floppy a little bit because, you know, for the Stars, they've typically been the team that has won more faceoffs, but with Jason Dickinson being out and Roddick Fox missing a game or so, the faceoffs have been, you know, we win one night, we lose the other night. We win one night, we lose the next night. And it just needs to be more consistent so that we can win more of these games.
That's definitely true. I feel this is another place that we talked about before the season started. Like, that's where we're going to miss Tyler Seguin. Like, last season, we won faceoffs pretty much every night. We would have to suck pretty bad to lose at faceoffs when we had Tyler Seguin as our front center and Roddick Fox as our second best faceoff guy. So I think that's definitely a spot where we're getting hurt. And I feel like now people are just kind of stepping up because, again, we don't have enough centers, but people are stepping up and they're doing really well. So
to that point, what seems to have worked really well is because of that lack at the center spot right now. It's because of all the injuries that we've had to deal with. Jamie Benn has actually stepped up in that center spot, and he played a lot of and he actually did very well on the draw this evening. Let me look at the stats for this. He was 58% in the faceoff circle. That's pretty good. And honestly, you know, a change of scenery for him off of the left wing side and allowing him to skate the full width of the rink, that full, full width. I think it benefited him a lot.
one can't hurt, so he can't play any worse than he has been recently. But yeah, this game he played really well. He got the two assists. I still think he's not playing to the full potential that he can. It just feels like sometimes he just makes lazy plays, and I don't understand why. And I know some of it is like that's kind of the way he plays the puck. He makes nonchalant kind of plays, but it just seems really lazy recently. But I mean, worked out tonight. He got two good assists. Should have scored a goal instead of having an assist, but
he got stoned. That was a great save.
A great save, and ended up not mattering at all.
Right, I know that. I hate when that happens, and especially if you're Lincoln. And I mean, he gave it all he could, and his defense just did not show up to this game tonight. So, kudos to that second, or was it the second goal, or was it the first goal? That was the Hintz goal. So it was the first goal.
Yeah, that was the first one.
So I mean, great save, but Roope Hintz would not be denied. And you know, I'm going to backtrack on Ben a little bit, to be honest with you, because yes, he's not the player. Yes, he's
$9 million.
No,
he's making $9 million.
Let me finish. I'm gonna let you finish. But anyways, he has played better, especially the past 2 weeks, and you can't expect him to be the Jamie Benn that he was when he was in his mid-20s. And I think we need to lower our expectations at that. And yes, the cap hit is very egregious right now but it is what it is. But it almost feels like we're paying him for what he did rather than what he's going to do. So there's this thought among, you know, NHL GMs, and especially the old GMs compared to the young GMs, because let's look at John Chenka versus Jim Nill, or Amarillo. Lou and Jim Nill are going to pay the guys for what they've done. So they're going to get those big contracts after they have succeeded, especially when they show their points. Okay, so those big offensive players. When you look at John Chenka, he handed out these giant contracts to players that he expected to be a lot more later contract. So right now it may seem like a really expensive contract, but later on it would be a really good cap hit because the cap's going to go up, right? Well, the cap is not going to go up for the next 2 or 3 years. So it looks really bad that John Chenka did that. And honestly, I think that is the right way to do it. The way that Jim Nill and Lou Lamoriello do it. And it's seemed to work for the Stars because we haven't been in a lot of cap trouble, you know, over the past 6 or 7 years that Jim Nill has been the GM. He's been very with watching the cap and looking at, okay, well, this player is going to come off the books and then we can pay this guy. So like Miro Heiskanen is going to get paid this offseason. And there's a couple of guys that are going to get their salaries off the books this year. And I don't see them returning. But what are your thoughts on that? Does all that make sense, or is that just crazy?
I mean, it makes sense, but just we can just be fans and say like, yeah, Ben's playing better. Yay. But like at the end of the day, he's making $9 million. he's one of the highest paid players in the league. And he's nowhere near the top of the score sheet.
Not even close. Not even close.
Not even close. What are you talking about?
Not anymore, at least. I mean,
what are you talking about?
When you look at Connor McDavid, you look at Mitch Marner, you look at Eric. Okay, if you want to talk about terrible contracts, Erik Karlsson, you look at these guys that are, I mean, look at the two goaltenders, the two big goaltenders. Look at Florida. Bobrovsky's making $10 million, and then he hasn't been playing well. Driger has outplayed him. So you could technically say that's a bad contract right now. And then when you look at Carey Price has not been the Carey Price for a while now. And he's, you know, making, I think, $10 or $11 million. So I think I'm going to back off Ben for a while because we kind of been bashing Ben a lot. And you can keep bashing Ben if you want to. That's up to you. That's your opinion. But I'm going to back off on bashing Ben because and I hope that this move to center going to help him and, you know, maybe realize his full potential.
He's 17.
Better. 17th in what?
Salary.
Okay, that's still pretty high. And he is the highest paid Dallas Star. No, I know. I think Sagan might actually
be Sagan is paid. Like 100,000 higher.
Well, okay. So, but still, I think I need to lay off Jamie Benn for a little bit. And I think he's played excellent the past 2 weeks, especially. He's starting to contribute offensively more. Yes, he only has 2 goals and 2 assists in, I think, 13 games. But we talk about the cap hit, and that's all we focus on. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes and how he's leading this team or the other things that he's doing. You know, physically, he is dominating.
You don't have to pay $9 million for that.
As you shake your head at me.
You don't have to pay $9 million for that. That's all I'm saying, dude.
Yeah, let's get Tom Gilardi on here and see what he says. Hey, Tom, we're spending $9.5 million on a player, on your captain. How do you feel about that? So I'm going to jump off of that for a little bit. But anyways, I think we started on face-off, and then we somehow ended on with Jamie Benn. So anyways, back to face-offs. In this game tonight, the Stars completely dominated the face-off circle, even better than the Blackhawks did on Tuesday. So we won 58% of the faceoffs compared to 42% for the Chicago Blackhawks. So that needs to be a staple in the Stars game. And especially when, you know, we're on special teams, either in the offensive zone or in the defensive zone. And that showed in this game tonight.
Yep, absolutely.
Another thing that, we got to mention is the fact that the Stars dominated the special teams tonight, not just the...
And the goaltending.
Yeah, and the two things we've constantly been talking about through this whole season, we dominated. And because we dominated it, we won the game.
Yeah, the power play has looked much better over this road trip. I don't know what's happened with it, but it seems like they know what they're doing. It seems like there's certain kinds of shots that they're looking for, and they're going to take them, like the Miro one-timer. Miro's looking for a one-timer if he's on the wing or if he's on the top. That's something that we can expect now from our power play. Miro's going to try the one-timers. And that's something we didn't see last season, which I think is – Miro's one-timer is pretty good. I like it. And he's obviously able to place it really well too, which I think is the difference between Gurionov's and his. Gurionov kind of just blasts at 119 miles an hour. But Miro is able to place it better. Yeah.
Well, and that was one of the things they were talking about in the post game, right? With Brian and Brent, is the fact that, you know, typically the D at the top of the, you know, in the center up at the top of the blue line, they typically hold the puck and they look for a lane and they wrist it in. Well, maybe we need to see more of those one timers. And to your point about the power play has been consistently, you know, kind of treading and getting better. And they mentioned this tonight, but this is the first multi-goal game on the power play for the Stars since the 7th game of the season. So that tells you something else about how the Stars have been playing as well, is the fact that they're, even though they're not getting a ton of opportunities, they're still starting to, you know, get those power play goals. And one other thing I wanted to mention about these power plays is that we have seen these special teams less frequently, and especially when the Stars were getting destroyed in the special teams game and we were losing games because of special teams, we started being more disciplined and even though we got less power plays, we also had less penalty kills that we had to deal with. And I think that helped out a ton.
I don't know if that's discipline as much as it's the league telling the refs to lay off a little, but you know, either way, same result.
Well, I mean, I just remember some of those games when it was just like...
Yeah, but remember the whole league was like that. And then at one point in the season, it just stopped all of a sudden.
I guess that's... I can see what you're
something was definitely said to the refs. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. But...
Well, and how did you think about the physical play in both of these games? Because there was a... I mean, the Stars threw a ton of hits. And you know, honestly, so did the Blackhawks. Normally, they don't throw as many hits. But the Stars threw over 40 hits in both of these games this week.
Yeah, and that kind of makes you wonder, maybe that's the way you can kind of get this team off their game, is by throwing more hits. You see, this game they threw a few more hits than they did last game. Maybe that's why Kane and DeBrincat weren't able to cause as much havoc because they were on their butts too much. Like, that might have to be our game plan against these faster teams when we don't have our faster guys on the ice.
Well, and we saw how effective a physical team could be when we played Carolina.
Absolutely.
Carolina is a better forechecking team than we are. And that's one of our fortes, especially right now with all of our skill players out. That's how we score goals, is forechecking the bottom, throw it up to the point, shoot it from the point, and, you know, look for garbage goals. And when we play Carolina again, that's something that we got to be able to do, is we got to be able to outplay them physically in the forecheck. And we can see how well we play when we do stuff like this. Even though today's game wasn't as forechecky, as, if for lack of a better term, because there's no other word.
Well, in the second period it was.
Yeah, that's true. The second period it was. And we were forcing turnovers because of those hits. So we need to see more of that.
Yeah. And that's what's been so frustrating about this season, is because we see games like this and we're like, we can totally do it. Even with four AHL players, we can beat teams like this. And it just doesn't happen. And like the second period, we dominated the second period. That was probably one of the best periods that we've had on the road trip. And we executed on it. We scored.
Of the season.
Yeah, like, and we executed on it finally. We've had great periods in the past that we just don't execute on. We don't win the period on the score sheet when we've won it via eye check. So we need to keep finding ways to score goals. And like, a lot of these were bad defensive plays too. But we don't always take advantage of those either. Like, there's been multiple times this season where the other team has had bad defensive plays and we've let them off the hook. Like, when a team can't score goals like us, we can't let that happen. We've got to bury those. And that's what happened tonight. Hopefully this gets some mojo going for a couple players and we can keep getting guys who can score.
Well, and that's one of the frustrating things about the Stars. It's like, you know, in a game like this where we were outplayed that first period on tonight's game on Thursday. I mean, just completely and utterly outplayed. But because we took advantage of the one opportunity that we had in the first period, we led the game, and then from there on, we didn't have to chase the game. Now, I wish they had played better in the first period, but then when you look at other games where we completely dominated the play in the first 40 minutes, and we could be down 3-0 or 4-0, and we talked about those games. And so it's almost like the Stars need to focus on, and this goes back to what I was saying earlier, we need to focus on the defense first, shut that down, don't let them get the opportunities, and if we do let those passes get through, then we need to make sure that our sticks are there where they need to be so that those scoring chances don't happen, and then we can take off the other direction and I can't think of the word right now. Where you go really quickly from the defensive zone and go straight into offense. I can't think of the word right now. Whatever. Relay or switch. There's a specific word. I can't think of it. Dadgummit. Whatever. Okay. So anyways, that's the frustrating thing about this team, is that, you know, they dominate and then they don't score goals. And then we don't dominate and we do score goals. We score 5. So here's another thing I wanted to talk about, because this is apparent to me in the two games. I want to talk about the play of Ty Dellandrea. So a lot of Stars fans have been really high. A lot of Stars fans, yeah, I know that kind of tells you right there. A lot of Stars fans have been high on Ty Dellandrea and like, why isn't he getting more games and more ice time and, you know, all this other stuff. And I think that obviously the coaching staff knew something that we hadn't seen, and it's just more egregious and more apparent right now. But Ty Dellandrea, and I put this on Twitter, he needs to bulk up more, because it seems like when he's down in the corners and he's going for these puck battles, you know, he's just getting thrown to the ice by
he's on his butt everybody.
Well, and that was mostly in Tuesday. And then in today's game, he takes two really bad penalties. And in the same play. That's like stick between the legs and, you know, takes the guy down. So I would not expect to see him on Saturday. What do you think? I think just Dowling makes his way back in just because of Ty Dillandria not playing well.
I think that's true. I mean, I think he deserves it too. The past few games have been pretty bad for him. So I don't think he deserves to be playing. So I'd agree with that. I'll eat my words. Bones was right.
Right. And I just.
Yeah. And for an offensive player, he only had one shot on goal in this Chicago series as well. Well, over the two games. So,
and it's not like he hasn't gotten his opportunities either. Like, I mean, he's had the chance when, you know, we've had no center depth to play on the top line, you know, or with Robertson and Hintz or with Ben and Garionov. And he just hasn't made any kind of, you know, push when he's gotten those opportunities. He's had a couple flashes in the pan where it seems like, oh, cool. He's doing really well. And then, yeah, not much after that. So I just hope that he gets his play up and going. So, anyways, we got to wrap this up because it's getting long. But Robertson continues to dominate and continues to prove why he should be considered in the Calder Trophy nomination. And we'll talk more about that on our radio show on Sunday. And Como with a multi-goal, aka multi-point game, the first multi-goal game of his career since 2015. So great for Como. And both of those shots were
sick.
Yeah, they were awesome, especially for the first one. The second one, he didn't get all of it, but he was there. He got a stick on it. It went in the net. So who cares?
Man, if he can find a good shot, I'd like to see a goal scoring Como. That'd be nice.
Right. And one of the they talked a lot about in the post game today about the play of Como and Cogliano. And Cogliano was kind of a spotlight in the game. So
they've both been outstanding. During this whole road trip, they were both really good offensively and defensively, which they're always good defensively, but they showed a real offensive side that we need. Like, we need them to find ways to help offensively because we don't have the guys to do it. So I think that really helped in making this road trip successful.
as we get
one more point than 500.
Right. Well, and honestly, we may look back at the end of this season, and if we get that fourth playoff spot, we may be like, you know, the play of these and the of specifically Ottinger and Robertson, but also the play of these veterans that are not, you know, goal scorers got us into the playoffs. I mean, that extra point, that one extra point or that one extra game tying goal from such and such player got us to the playoffs. And I hope we can look back at the season and say that. And they've been a huge story, especially recently, Cogliano and Como. So I think that's just about it, Chris. We need to mention anything else? Anything else you want to talk about before we wrap this up?
We didn't talk a lot about Roope Hintz, but that's because everybody already knows. He's right. Amazing. He doesn't look hurt. How is Roope hurt? Roope is amazing. I love Roope.
Well, it was really funny listening to him on the he did an interview, obviously, because, you know, you score 4 points in the game, and you're going to be asked to do a media interview at the end of the game. And he was just like, yeah, I played good. And he was – and then I think Saad asked him a question about, like, you know, you've been in more games recently. Is your injury feeling better? And he's just like, yeah, when I'm in, I'm feeling good. It's like 5-10 second answer questions to answers to those questions. So anyway,
he's an honest guy.
This team just looks different and plays different when Roope Hintz is in the lineup. And yeah, Robertson has been the most consistent, you know, player. He plays every game, and he's been the most consistent point getter for the Stars, especially in the last month and a half. But you can't not look at Roope Hintz and say that
has so much more impact.
He is the most important Dallas Star right now at this point in this season. And whole season, actually. I'll go as far as that.
Yeah, when he's on the ice, he's our best player.
No question. I mean, I can make the argument that somebody is more important right now than Roope Hintz. So, Gotta love Roope Hintz. I think we should leave it at that and in there, because honestly, he's one of the main reasons why we're even close to NHL 500 with 10 shootout and overtime losses. But okay, all right, we will catch you guys again on Sunday. We will have our live
Saturday.
Saturday. Oh yeah, Saturday. Okay. Well, we might do a PGR after Saturday, or we may just wait for our radio show on Sunday. Who knows? But either way, we'll catch you guys on the weekend. And thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on all our social media accounts and all that jazz. And go Rangers, because the Rangers need some help. And go Stars.
Just ignore the Rangers.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in once again, and we'll catch you guys on the flip side. Good night.
Bye.